and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the YouTube America TV Network and on Biz Talk Radio. Very glad to have you along. I'm Amy Fuller. Hey, do you want some motivation today? This will get you up and at them and saying, you know, I have no excuses. We're going to introduce you to a young lady named Jessica Cox. Jessica Cox Motivational Services. And why is she motivational? She's the first person who is an armless pilot. Jessica was born without arms, and she didn't let that stop her for a minute. She earned a college degree, got a bunch of Taekwondo titles, and she's a pilot. So we're going to talk to her and see if we can all get to the next level in our lives. So we welcome Jessica to America Trends. It'll be so good to have her. Larry Ward of the Stand With Tucker Coalition, and someone we've talked to for months and months about conservative voices being censored on the internet, whether it's social media platforms, Google and the search engines, those things that really do matter so much. He's going to chat with us about some of the news of the day, including Senate hearings, Senator Ted Cruz leading a hearing just today about anti-conservative big tech bias. And he's got some interesting witnesses in front of him. We will talk to Larry coming up. And Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. He is a former state senator from Colorado, and now he runs the biggest pro-Trump super PAC in America, started as an anti-Hillary PAC. We'll talk about the political headlines of the day, as I said, and here's what is trending in the news and online. New updates on just how high the number of illegal immigrants pouring across our southern border is. Projected, we had been telling you for days, to hit over 100K for the month of March. The new number, the tally, 103,492 people apprehended. That's just apprehended. We hear we're only catching one of every three that comes across, so do the math. This is the highest number in 5 years, according to the just-released U.S. Customs and Border Projection numbers. President Trump tweeting about it today because CNN and others are finally saying, you know what, there is a crisis. This is an issue. This number, it includes 53,000 family units just in March, 8,900 unaccompanied minors. Here's President Trump.
I think that the whole asylum rules, laws, and regulations have been taken advantage of by people that are very bad people in many cases. These are the people running the cartels. They're gaming the system. They have been for years. The only difference is our economy is now so strong that more people come up. We have done a great job at the border with bad laws. It's very important that the Democrats in Congress change these loopholes. If they don't change them, we're just going to be fighting. Now, the other thing, we've built a lot of wall, and it's new wall. You know, when we rip down an old wall and then replace it, it's called a new wall, and that's what we've done. A lot of wall is going up, and every place we build a wall, it's less and less. But the power of the economy, it's like a magnet. It's bringing more people than we've seen in a long time.
During this impromptu chat, which he does all the time when he's taking off or somewhere, he congratulated Benjamin Netanyahu, who has now won a fifth term as the leader of Israel. This is a big historic thing. He survived a strong challenge from a former general. The prime minister called it a night of incredible victory, and he thanked the public for putting his trust in him. Four more years for him. President Trump did call him from Air Force One today to congratulate him and said that Bibi's reelection makes peace in the Middle East more of a possibility. Also trending on Twitter, astronomers have now unveiled the first photo of a black hole. There it is, taken in for our viewers right now. The image of a dark core encircled by a flame orange halo of white hot plasma. Black holes, for all you science geeks like me, you might know, can devour stars and are obscured by impenetrable shields of gravity. This one, over 50 million light years away. Cue the jokes on Twitter for poor Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. First up, the parody account. And there you have it. Climate change is real, the fake account says. Case closed. Just a little tease for her. Coming up, big excitement because the new Lion King trailer has dropped for the new show coming up, new movie coming up this summer. You have it trending today. We're going to show you a little bit of it when we come back on America Trends after our guest. So stay with us. We're here for the hour.
2 much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function. supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterol is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Welcome back to America, friends. I'm Amy Fuller. Everybody dreams of freedom, especially financial freedom, because that can lead to all kinds of things. But most people do struggle to achieve it. Our next guest is someone who will have you just trying to sit up and figure out how you can expand your life, because once you meet her, you will find there are no holds barred. She has risen up to about every challenge you can think of. She has got a new thing coming out called the Think and Grow Rich World Tour. And who better to tell us about it than Jessica Cox of Jessica Cox Motivational Services. And you can find it here, jessicaontour.com, who was born without arms, but advanced to become someone who earned a college degree, scuba certification, two black belts in Taekwondo, and the Guinness World Record for being the first armless pilot in history. And now she is making her life's work to inspire us. Jessica, we can't say thank you enough for coming on America Trends and chatting with us. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. Excited to be on.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. So where do you want to start? You want to talk about your tour or what it's been like to, you know, sort of be born and grow up and realize that you had limitations that others didn't, but not for a minute, it sounds like. Did you say, this is going to stop me? And you probably had some really good people raising you.
I was so incredibly blessed. I was born without both of my arms, but my parents really helped me believe that I could do anything. And naturally, when you don't have arms in the world, people doubted you, and they doubted me for about everything, from climbing up the slide in elementary school to swimming and doing all these things. And it gave me all the more reason to prove to the world, yes, I can do it if we have a right attitude, if we have the right mindset.
You are going on a tour of 15 cities, so I hope that people will go to your website and see if you're coming to a town near them. But you say this world is made for people with hands, obviously, and you adapted to it. And so you grabbed onto some challenges that most people can't even realize. So I'll bet people just from being around you can say, you know what, I really have no reason to doubt anything I can do if I really want to achieve it. Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There are people that they hear my story and it really helps them realize that they have the potential. They can do it. And they just need to believe in themselves and go out there and be persistent and not give up.
These are the most precious pictures. Jessica, I want to ask you, were the physical limitations placed on you the bigger burden, or the limitations that others projected on you the bigger impact? Because I think both can probably be, you know, ample, but I just wonder how you sort of view it right now.
Yeah, it was definitely more of the doubt from people. So
wow.
It was, and what they projected that I could do without arms or what I couldn't do without arms, that was more of the limitations that they were creating for me, but I didn't let them stop me. And I fortunately had a wonderful support system to help me achieve some wonderful things and now share it on stage with thousands of people.
I'll bet. You know, sometimes it seems like we put our own limitations on ourselves, and that can be the biggest burden of all. I'll bet that when you had people saying, I just don't know if Jessica can do this, that, or the other, it probably made you want to rise up and say, oh, yeah, let me show you some Taekwondo, some piloting, some scuba diving. I can't even imagine. Some of those things would scare people that had everything going for them in the first place, right?
Yes, and for as far back as I can remember, I always had that voice in me that said, let me prove that I can do it, because I knew I could do things from the very beginning. And I just had to convince people sometimes and prove them that you can do it without arms. It's possible.
I love that you say your greatest fear was wanting to learn to fly. That could be anybody's greatest fear. And so that's when you knew you had to face it. What was that like, and how did the whole thing go down?
Well, my greatest fear was just flying and losing contact with the ground. And I knew that I wanted to conquer that. And I figured if I needed to conquer this, I had to become a pilot. And so began my journey. I began my journey to become the world's first armless pilot, to conquer this fear, but more importantly, to let other people know they shouldn't let fear stand in the way of anything that they do. And that's true in business. You shouldn't let any fear affect your decision-making in business. And that's what I'll be talking to people about, teaching them about, is how it shouldn't rule your life. And unfortunately, we allow fear to rule our lives, but it should never stand in the way of any opportunity.
You know, sometimes you see these things, oh my goodness, this video. Are you kidding? Jessica, you know, we've got to have you back soon, because this is something that could inspire people every day. But you've got, not only are you going to 15 cities, I see here, I overlooked, you're going to 12 countries too. So you wanted to fly, you did this, and you're doing this Think and Grow Rich tour that you're taking all around the world. You wanted to help everyone face their dreams of financial freedom, because, you know, sometimes that's just some big thing that can impact us as well. So how did this sort of come about, Jessica?
Well, this is an opportunity that came about very recently. It was an opportunity to share the stage with a number of different specialists who have these principles in the Think and Grow Rich book that they use in their own life. And in my life, the importance of desire is critical. And I share with everyone how you can use desire to accomplish great things in your life by not giving up. And that's why I just feel very honored to be on this tour, but most importantly, be able to help so many hundreds of thousands of people. And it's going to be a phenomenal tour, helping people really break through their own limitations, break through their own fears, and to really empower them to a new level. And I'm just thrilled to and blessed to be a part of it.
Jessica, where are you based? And I honestly, I can't tell if you're 19 or 29. You are so wise beyond your years, and you're so beautiful. I'm just trying to, where are you based?
I'm based here in Tucson. So if you want to go flying, come out.
Tucson?
Come out this way. Yeah.
Tucson, Arizona. Okay. All right, good. And you're starting the tour on the West Coast?
Starting in Anaheim, California on May 3rd and 4th. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that sounds great. Okay, you can find her at Jessica on Tour. Jessica, I hope that if you get around the Southern California area, our studio's in San Diego, will you come in and see us and talk more to us?
I sure will, and if you ever come out to Tucson, you can come flying with me.
Oh, we would love to. I mean, no greater motivation. Jessica Cox, Godspeed to you, and keep us posted on all you're doing, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll see you later on America Trends. Okay, Larry Ward's up next, talking to us about conservative voices being harnessed online. Stay with us. Well, for some time, years, we've been hearing about conservative voices being harnessed online, whether it's social media or the big search engines that sort of run everything. And we're really glad whenever we can get our friend of the show, Larry Ward, to come on and talk with us. He's been monitoring this. He runs campaigns sometimes, and he can tell you when they have had things that have just been completely shut down by some of the big search engines and others. He's with Political Media, Inc. That's politicalmedia.com. And it's interesting, because we're right on trend today, Larry. So good we could have you today, because there is a Senate hearing on the anti-conservative big tech bias yet again today. Senator Ted Cruz leading it, a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing on Silicon Valley's censorship practices. And he's got, I don't know, eight or so witnesses chatting with them today. And I understand you've had a chance to watch some of it, right?
Yeah, I watched most of it. But it's the same old, same old. You know, these Silicon Valley jokers, I mean, they come on, they say, oh, we won't do anything. And then, of course, they get caught doing it. Censoring conservatives, blocking conservatives, shadow banning conservatives, all these news stories, they are factual. And it is a real thing that conservatives are pushed out from the mainstream of social media. But they come and they talk to Congress, and they say, oh, no, we believe in free speech. Well, what they believe in is liberal speech. And that's the real problem.
You're exactly right. No free speech unless it's liberal speech. Larry, you couldn't say it better. And you've talked before about these liberal sleeper cells that are in every area of technology and other, you know, big business across the U.S. And I love that you said you're one of your plans with your group is to out them and let people know what's really going on. Because if you're not paying attention, and a lot of people are just living their lives, you don't know that when you search for something on Google, when you look for something on Facebook, Twitter, or beyond, and you're not, you don't know what you're not seeing. And there's not that critical thinking to say, what are they not showing me? So it's really great that you are dedicating, you know, your career and your life to sort of putting the spotlight on this. And how's it been? Because I know that you've run some campaigns where things have been shut down simply because the people that you were running the campaign for, the person, was a conservative.
Absolutely. It's not just campaigns and candidates, it's also groups and causes. And this goes back 2002. We had an ad that when Google AdWords first started, we had an ad that we put up for Google, and it got pulled down. And it was obviously a conservative ad. This was in 2002. And then, so what we did is we put the same exact ad, the same exact verbiage, but on the liberal side, and they accepted that ad. And that was the first time that we realized something crazy was going on in Silicon Valley. It was way back in 2002. Fast forward in 2012, we put up a meme. Right after Benghazi, during the 2012 presidential elections, and it said, "When Obama called the SEALs, they got Bin Laden. When the SEALs called Bin Laden, they got denied." Mm-hmm. And Facebook pulled that meme off, and said that we violated their terms of service. So I put it back on with their note, and then they suspended my account while I called. My friends at Breitbart, and they put a story up that said Facebook censors the SEALs. It was the first time Facebook got called out, and it actually wound up being on the top story on Drudge. And I got a call 5 minutes later, and Facebook offered me, I think, $10,000 if I would just say that they weren't censoring the former Navy SEALs. And I absolutely said no, thank you.
I don't remember this story before. Facebook called you and offered you $10,000. To 10K. Back off? Say that again.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So we pushed this this meme up, and it had a picture of, there it is. We have a picture of Barack Obama and Bin Laden, and it said, when, like I said, exactly what you're showing. And for whatever reason, it violated Facebook's terms of service, because obviously it was getting a ton of traction. We had 25,000 shares in an hour. It was unbelievable. So they pulled it down. And when I posted this, when the story became news, and they said that they were censoring the Navy SEALs, former Navy SEALs, because the group was Special Operations Speaks. Facebook called me like literally 6 minutes after it hit Drudge, and said, you know, it was a mistake. You know, we're sorry. We apologize. Wow. If you just say that we weren't censoring you, we'll give you a $10,000 credit. Ad credit. And we said no.
When you say was it Facebook or Google? Sorry.
It was Facebook.
When you say Facebook called you, who called you? A rep that just said, I'm with Facebook, or what?
It was a Facebook rep from D.C.
Oh, man, that's crazy. You know, I have to think, you know, some of these representatives, some of these people that run all this big tech, I know that they have aspirations and hopes for, you know, making a better country, making a better internet. And I just don't know how they, I don't even want to say it's such a hackneyed phrase, how they sleep at night because they're doing something like this. I mean, I understand being really adamant for your political views, but this is so beyond that I don't get it. I mean, do you give them any benefit of the doubt?
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's why they go in front of these hearings and they swear, you know, in front of Congress that they're not doing these things. Here's the problem with these hearings is nothing gets done. It's clear as day that they're lying to Congress, which is a crime. You can't lie to Congress, but there'll be no criminal referrals. So at the end of the day, they don't do much other than maybe make us feel better that we're holding them accountable, but we're not really holding them accountable. I mean, they're laughing at us is what's happening. And what we have to do is we have to wean ourselves off of Silicon Valley's products, and we have to start new companies, new businesses, new ways to reach out. We have to be more innovative and more aggressive than Silicon Valley is.
I guess that's the thing. You almost need someone like a Trump big money, big power, big voice to come in and start a new type of Twitter? Because as you've said before, you don't really want it regulated. When government comes in and says, I'm here to help, everyone gets a little scared. But I do like to mention when you're on, when you mentioned the phrase shadow banning, unless you're really, political on some of these things, you might not realize what shadow banning is. And that's when you're having your maybe tweets not shown as much, but they're not telling you that. They're just suppressing. Do I have that right, Larry?
That's exactly right. And there are, James O'Keefe from the Project Veritas has videos of Twitter employees, engineers, saying, yes, we shadow ban conservatives, especially during the 2016 election. And so that's where the term came from. Actually, it wasn't a term that we made up. That's a term that Twitter used, that we are shadow banning you. We're not letting your content out to the public. So what happens, what I think happens also, is that not only is it not getting out there, but they're also keeping it into just the people who agree with you. So we're never able to persuade. And that's a big problem.
Never offering the other viewpoint and offering that ability for people to do critical thinking. We're clearly upon the 2020 election. Has anything gotten better from the primaries?
As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse. You saw what SPLC just did. The Southern Poverty Law Center. They just, and some other group, they just called for ex-Trump officials to be blacklisted that they can't get jobs.
Right.
This is what's going on in corporate America. And we have to, corporate America should really wake up and not play these games anymore. But the problem is like you said, there are liberal sleeper cells in these boards and they need to be outed.
Larry Ward, Political Media, Inc. I hope you keep us posted, Larry, week by week. All eyes are upon this. Conservative voices being censored online. Thank you so much. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. Well, we reported the numbers today that over 103,000 people, migrants, were caught, apprehended at our southern border trying to sneak into the U.S., and they have told us that they're only catching one of three. We have no idea who is here, and the people we do get, they're just dropping and letting them go because there's nowhere to put them. And they're saying, yeah, come back for your court hearing as usual. And then the other news from this week, a judge for the second time in as many months, as Trump is trying to fix our crazy asylum system, a U.S. district judge of the Northern District of California blocked his policy. What Trump wants is to have Central American asylum seekers return to Mexico to wait for their cases to be heard in the U.S. But this judge, and I think that they've been sort of blasted by the Supreme Court, said that the protocols implemented last year were not authorized by Congress under the Immigration and Nationality Act and didn't provide proper safeguards, so they blew that out of the water. So this just goes back and forth in the courts all the time, again, those Northern California courts. We're talking about this and more, including the Mueller report, which will soon be released to the public, but redacted. William Barr's testimony talking about this. He spoke in front of Congress for the first time since this report has been released. But Senator Ted Harvey is the chairman of the Committee to Defend the President. Super PAC started as an anti-Hillary PAC. Then, when President Trump got elected, they looked around and said, hey, they're really coming down on this guy. Let's give him some support. So, Senator Harvey, how's it been going for your PAC, and how are you doing, my friend?
Well, things are going well for our PAC. Certainly, defending the president never ends. The Democrats are on a full court press to do everything they can to bring down this presidency in the next 2 years so that they can try to regain the White House. And honestly, with the field of players that they have running, I don't think we have much of a concern against the Democrats, but you never want to be too overconfident. I think it was great this week to see the Rasmussen poll come out and show that Trump is at 53%. I could see, I could sense it in the atmosphere that Democrat heads were exploding all across the country when those poll numbers came out after 2.5 years of trying to do everything they can with the Mueller investigation and Russia collusion to try to bring down this presidency. And then to see him have 53% approval rating, they must have been freaking out.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of the mainstream media and those Democrats were curled up in a corner sucking their thumbs after that Mueller report came out and said there's no evidence of obstruction. And then they spent days trying to contort themselves saying, well, they're not saying that there wasn't, that they just couldn't find anything. You've never seen people sadder that the president didn't do the wrong thing.
It is crazy, and you think of the Rachel Maddow fan club that has been watching Rachel Maddow literally every day for 2.5 years, saying that the president is going to be locked up, seeing Bremer going on there and Clapper going on their show saying that Trump's family members are going to be indicted literally just days before the Mueller report came out. And then the Mueller report comes out and says that there is no collusion, there is no obstruction of justice. You've got to think that the Democrats across the country are truly freaking out. Rachel Maddow practically started crying mm-hmm. on national TV when the report came out. Her credibility is totally destroyed, and for that matter, so is the entire intelligence community's reputation destroyed. And I think that's what you saw in Barr's testimony yesterday, that there is going to be an investigation from the Justice Department into exactly what happened with the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the Obama Justice Department, and how far did this spying on a Trump campaign go? And I think Barr is telegraphing that it went all the way up to the very mm-hmm. highest of heights in the Obama administration. And that's something that's going to be deeply concerning to Barr and should be to the American people.
I do want to chat about the media and if they should. I mean, there's so much reflection they should do, whether they want to or not. They've got to get it together. They've got all these talking heads that their contracts are just going to run out and they'll go away, because for 2 years they've just been breathlessly waiting and hoping for this to happen.
If I could jump in real quick before sure. you go to the next point, I think they should be more than just reflecting on the way they handled themselves over the last year or 2 years. I think they should be hiring attorneys, especially Mother Jones and Yahoo News. I believe they were part of the collusion to try to implement a coup against a duly elected president of the United States. And I think evidence will show that the intelligence community used those two entities and knowingly used those two entities, and those two entities knowingly participated in taking classified information about the investigation and leaking it to the press, leaking it to the American people, and were part of this coup. And I think in the end, there could be criminal investigations going on into that leaking and the reports that were then used in a cyclical fashion, if you will, mm-hmm. to go to the FISA court to get further warrants into the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. I think there's going to be more than reflection. I think there's going to be indictments.
The dossiers, the FISA reports, it seems like Fox News and some of the others were the only ones paying attention to that, not just with the propaganda. You know, Ted, you know, historically they've called it the fourth estate. It's another weight and balance against, you know, the three branches. It's a watchdog. But you don't take that freedom, that privilege, and stomp on things and be completely irresponsible. You're right. There's got to be more than reflection, yeah?
I agree. I don't have a problem with entities out there that are conservative commentators. And, you know, certainly Hannity is a conservative commentator, and certainly Maddow is a liberal commentator. But when you start using the press to weaponize intelligence, to justify why courts should authorize a FISA warrant into the spying on American citizens, that's when you cross the line from journalism into an active participant in a coup to bring down a president of the United States. And that is illegal, and that's where I think this investigation is going to start pointing to.
Some of the saddest parts of it is that it wasn't just talking. This is a talk show, clearly. You and I, we commentate on things like this. We're not projecting ourselves as a news organization and straight news. Some of those straight news people were the biggest culprits of saying this is happening. And they're supposed to be unbiased. So, you know, we're going to talk. We've got one more minute. We did get news that Mueller, he's got these, been in these hearings this week, and he said he's not going to talk more on some of the, they're asking him about the Mueller report. I'm not going to talk about it till it's released, probably in a week. But the news did come that he is going to investigate the investigators. What do you think will happen?
Well, I think he should be. I've been saying this for over 2 years. I think this is the greatest scandal in American history. I believe that when you have the intelligence community of the United States, the most powerful intelligence community, law enforcement community in the world, trying to go after American citizens, spy on American citizens in an effort to spy on a major party's candidate. I don't care, major party or minor candidate, candidate's campaign and their staffers. That should be outrageous to any United States citizen, whether you are conservative or liberal. If you are an American citizen who loves your freedoms and your liberties, you should be appalled that is happening.
Because it could come to you next. Senator Harvey, we're going to come right back with you after this break. Hard break coming up. We're going to talk more about the Mueller report and the border crisis next. Newly seated Attorney General William Barr faced Congress for the first time since ending the end of the Mueller probe. He spoke in front of Congress Tuesday and Wednesday, and now says the redacted Mueller report will probably be available to the public about within a week. And he's telling Congress people who keep asking him, he's not going to comment till it's released. And by the way, passages will be blacked out, redacted. And he's going to color code the redactions to explain exactly why it's redacted, whether it's damage to a person peripheral to the investigation, reference to a grand jury testimony, national security, whatever. And by the way, this whole Mueller report, I don't know if everyone can pay attention to every facet of everything that's going on with all this, but the 4-page letter to Congress last month, Barr said that Mueller did not establish that President Trump or people associated with his campaign in any way conspired with Russia. And now, even better, he's putting together a team to look into those investigators to say, why did we spend 2 years on this? And Senator Harvey, 2 years and how much money and how many witnesses and all that stuff, a lot of math there.
It's outrageous. Tens of millions of dollars, thousands of witnesses, tens of subpoenas, thousands of witnesses, and 17 very biased attorneys, those that gave money to the Clinton campaign, those that are currently the attorneys for the Clinton Foundation, those that were at the Clinton wake on the night of the election. They are the most biased of all biased attorneys. And even Strzok, who was actively involved in this entire insurance policy, were part of the investigation. And yet, after 2.5 years and tens of millions of dollars, they come back with no indictments on anybody and no evidence of any collusion whatsoever. And they came back saying, we have no evidence of obstruction of justice, because I would argue you can't obstruct justice when you didn't commit a crime. You can't obstruct justice in the investigation of a crime you didn't commit. So what Barr said yesterday, that he was going to redact classified information. Certainly, we wouldn't want a classified information being brought out to the public. He's going to redact any mention of any other third-party individuals that were not indicted, so that we're not impugning their reputations. He said that, I can't remember what the third one was. There are three things that he was going to block out, and they were all what the courts have been saying forever, what Congress has written in their laws regarding the special counsel investigation, which must be marked out. And the Democrats realize that that's the case. They're only grandstanding so that they can go to the American people and say that Barr is trying to cover something up. And that is not the case. He is following the law and reasonable laws for practical reasons.
Well, now they're saying, oh, well, Barr must be part of the Russian conspiracy. It's just a joke. It's just a joke.
And Mueller must be. And the 17 attorneys that work for him must be.
Exactly. And besides those, there are other byproducts that aren't even in that math. Like, what could the media have been covering and parsing and revealing aside from the Mueller probe for these 2 years, had they not been so ultra-focused on that and just determined that something would come of it. And plus, think about the emotional and then physical toll of the people who were targeted, not just the Trump family, all the associates, the Roger Stones, the Jerome Corsi, and all the people affiliated. People went broke over this. And, I mean, there's a lot of tragedy to it. I know they're public figures, but it's just, it's not cool, as the kids say.
It's outrageous that we have American citizens that have had to spend millions and millions of dollars of their own money to try to defend themselves against the undefensible. You can't prove a negative, and they had to go out there and try to prove a negative. And I think what you had was a congruence of the Clinton campaign trying to justify why they lost the election. I think you had that. I think you had the fact they were trying to figure out how their emails were hacked. And then I think you have the Justice Department under the Obama administration trying to spy on the Trump campaign to get dirt to give back to the Clinton campaign. I think all three of those things came to effect to result in really what was a joke, as the president continues to say, arguing over again, that there was nothing there ever, and this was just some cruel joke on the American people to try to justify all of these things that had nothing to do with the Trump campaign or the Trump administration.
You know, sometimes I just want to pause and think of what our forefathers would think of this government that they set up. That, I mean, it's better than most across the globe, obviously.
In the end, it worked, though, right?
It does work. And I guess politics have always been crazy and dirty and silly, and this is just part of it, and this is where we are 200-some years later. But, you know, we've got to do better. Do you want to talk some more on that, or you want to talk a little bit about the border and, you know, the Democrats say it's a fake crisis, you know?
Well, I think it's important for us, all of the things that you highlighted in the introduction here about what's going on the border and the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that are coming across the border every month and going, you know, million every year. But one of the most important things that came out of the hearing yesterday that people aren't talking about is that there's upwards to 50 different nationalities coming across the border right now. That came out in the hearing yesterday. So it's not just Mexicans, it's not just Hondurans, it's not El Salvadorians. They are coming from all over the world. 50 different nationalities have been stopped on the border, and that's just those that have been stopped. We have got to build a wall so that we know for a fact who is coming across that border, and only the people that we want coming across the border are allowed to come across the legal ways. If we don't put a barrier up there and force them to come through the ports of entry, then we are going to continue to have situations where drug dealers, human traffickers, and I would argue terrorists can come into our country to cause harm to the American people, and the Democrat Party could care less. That they will do everything they can to obstruct the president from fulfilling his responsibilities while not stopping these people from coming here to do our nation harm. And then you throw out there that the judges on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal who continue to throw out these radical rulings for no other reason than to slow down the administration from implementing their policies. Every time the Supreme Court, when it gets to the Supreme Court, they overturn the Ninth Circuit every single time without, you know, they've never lost. So we have got to get behind this president. We've got to support this president, and we've got to take back the House of Representatives and make sure that the president is able to fulfill his promise to the American people to secure our borders and to secure the American people.
All eyes are on 2020. Senator Ted Harvey, the Committee to Defend the President. You can go there and support the PAC now and support President Trump. Thank you so much, Senator.
Is it fun? Yeah, you're so cute. Good job, Noodle! Oh, you won! Yay! Good job, Noodle!
Sending all our appreciation out to you here on the YouTube America TV Network and on Biz Talk Radio for being with us for the hour, and to our guest for the hour. We had someone who is so inspiring, Jessica Cox of Jessica Cox Motivational Services. Jessica, well, look at that. She can have a little drink and not have arms. That's one motivation. But she has titles, degrees in Taekwondo. First armless pilot ever, as determined by the Guinness Book of World Records. She is going on a motivational tour, Think and Grow Rich World Tour, 15 towns in the U.S. and I think 7 countries. And, you will not want to go past anything, any dream of yours once you hear her speak. Also, Larry Ward on the Senate hearings today, anti-conservative big tech bias, and Ted Harvey with the Committee to Defend the President. Finally tonight, this is a huge thing trending on 1 and 2 on YouTube. The new Lion King trailer is out, and it's got an all-star cast that you're just going to love, coming out this summer. Beyonce, James Earl Jones, Donald Glover, Seth Rogen, Billy Eichner. And here's your first look as we say goodbye and thanks for being here.
Life's not fair, is it, my little friend? While some are born to feast, others spend their lives in the dark. Begging for scraps. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. While others search for what they can take, a true king searches for what he can give. Run away, Simba, and never return. Take your place in the circle of life.
We move it.